Today is Monday, August 12th. The following will be a voluntary interview of BOP Warden in furtherance of OIG investigation to be determined. For the purpose of transcription, we'll now identify all present in the interview. I'll ask everyone to say and spell their last name as well as identify their working title and employer. I am Special Agent
Warden, Federal Bureau of Prisons. Spelling of the name is
Thank you. Warden, you have reviewed and signed Department of Justice OIG Form 226-2, which is warning assurance to employees requested to provide information on a voluntary basis. Do you have any questions about this form?
No.
Would you like time to review it with an attorney, or would you like an attorney here?
For now, I don't need an attorney.
Okay. Are you currently under the influence of any substances, or is there any reason that would prevent you from being fully understanding my questions and answering truthfully today?
No.
I'll now swear you to the statements you're about to make. Please raise your hand and repeat after me. Hereby solemnly swear or affirm.
Hereby solemnly swear or affirm. That statements I'm about to make.
Shall be the truth and the whole truth.
Shall be the truth and the whole truth.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Warren, would you just mind telling us a little bit about your career with BOP, when you started, how you became a warden, how you moved up the ranks?
I started out as a correction officer. Then I was promoted to a lieutenant. From there, I went to special investigative agent at our regional office. And then I went from there, I was a captain, promoted to captain. And then I was associate warden. And then from there, I went to DC as our chief internal affairs, and I'm in my present position.
Great. How long have you been warden?
I've been here since May of 2018.
Okay, great. Your role, you've done a lot of internal investigations with the prison, and you've worked with Department of Justice for moving forward. Just as a note for the record, you're aware that failure to be honest with us today would be considered a criminal offense, correct?
Yes.
Okay, great. Let's talk a little bit about some overall policy that the prison to start with.
Okay.
So, actually, let me back up. We're here today to talk about, specifically Jeffrey Epstein, mm-hmm. the inmate.
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind just telling us a little bit about when he arrived, and when he arrived, how he was placed, where he was placed, and the reasons behind that?
I don't remember the specific date he arrived, but what happened was, we weren't told that he was going to be coming to the institution.
Okay.
When he initially came, he was dropped off on the weekend, and we didn't find out till Monday, myself, that he had been placed at the institution. And then from then on, we went through the whole process of the screening, his medical stuff, just normal procedures that we follow. Something like that.
Now, when you say he was dropped off over the weekend, when someone arrives at the facility, what's the normal?
I mean, typically, if somebody's that high profile, mm-hmm. we should have been notified and said, hey, he's coming in. We weren't.
Okay.
You know, I mean, we saw it on the news, but it didn't say, they just said they had him in custody, but we didn't get any formal, I didn't get any formal notice that he had been brought into the institution. So he was dropped off, and, you know, the lieutenant on shift processed him in and brought him into the institution. We didn't find out, realize until Monday.
So it was Monday that you first were officially made aware?
That I was made aware. You know, we found out, and I don't remember if it was from looking at the news reports, we put it together that he had been brought into the institution. We went through our Monday morning meeting that we went through. So that's when...
When he first arrived, was he placed in general population? Do you know where he was placed?
I don't recall where he was placed when he came in.
at some point he was placed in special housing unit,
yes,
known as the SHU.
Right.
How did he end up there?
Well, he was a new commitment. He was high profile, so we placed him in the special housing unit so we can further evaluate, you know, his status. Is he ready for general population? If he could, and we do that with all inmates.
Okay.
And then to see, okay, any separation issues, any threats to him before we put him out there in general population.
Was he ever in general population?
I don't recall. I'm not sure if it might have been the first day when he came in.
Okay.
I'm not sure. So, I mean, I would have to look at the 37 to confirm that.
But as far as you know, that Monday, the first business day that you were that after the weekend he was initially dropped off.
Right.
From that point forward, was he ever in general population?
No.
Okay. What are the policies in terms of, or is there policy that dictates when somebody goes into general population from the SHU after the first arrival?
Well, what we do is we evaluate the individual to see if they're ready for general population, if they can hang, you know,
mm-hmm.
if they can populate.
Okay.
And it's a number of factors. It depends. I mean, if I have a gang member coming in, I'm taking into consideration separation issues on it. If it's, you know, somebody that might have been fraud or bank fraud, then, you know, we determine if it's any issues of them going into general population. So it's a case-by-case basis on how we determine it.
Okay. What are the policies in terms of when you're notified if someone leaves, enters special housing unit or is discharged from special housing unit?
Well, what it is it's routed. The individual, it's called the release form, so several people sign it, they review it. I believe psychology, CMC, the captain, and it goes to the associate warden, and then they sign the what we call as a kick-out, meaning everybody's reviewed it and said, okay, this person's appropriate for general population.
For Mr. Epstein, he was never put in general population, correct?
No.
Was the determination to keep him in special? What's the communication that goes on there?
Well, initially when he came in, it's the goal to determine, okay, can they go to general population?
Okay.
So between evaluating him, at the same time we're looking at saying, okay, can he go to general population?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a dual path that we're, to a dual road that we're going
sure.
down. But I had gotten word, and I don't recall the date, where from my regional director was stated he's not to go to general population until further notice.
The regional director, that's where is that in the chain of command for BOP?
We have five regional offices.
Okay.
Each region has a regional director.
Okay.
This is the Northeast region.
Okay.
Where we have 21 institutions. So he supervises in charge of the 21 institutions.
Okay, so is he your direct supervisor?
He's my direct supervisor.
Okay, who is that?
Yeah.
And Mr. Ormont told you, do you recall if it was on a verbally or an email, phone call?
We talked about it too, but I would have to check if there was an email to go with it. But we did talk and said, hey, we would hold off on putting him out in the general population.
Okay. What? Could you call when you officially were, you and Mr. Ormont spoke about this?
I don't want to give you the wrong date. But it was within that, you know, maybe a couple weeks after he arrived.
Okay. So it was a few weeks after he arrived.
Right.
Okay. After the Mr. Ormont told you to keep him, or it was agreed upon, to keep him in special housing unit.
Right.
Who did you notify that he was to stay in special housing unit? How does that...
So what it does is I get my exec staff together, which
mm-hmm.
is my associate warden, the captain, my exec, and we have our meetings, and I tell him he's not, you know, I lay out the specific instructions, he's not to go out to general population.
Go
ahead. And that's basically how it starts.
Okay. Were there any other specific directions or instructions given to the staff regarding him?
Well, at the time of him staying in there, we had to find him initially a roommate.
Okay.
So, and it's hard, especially in special housing, when you got gang members in there that are not appropriate to be housed with him. So I came up with Tartaglione, who was in there, white male, probably be able to cope with him. And that's typically how we, but that's part of the evaluation process.
Is it standard for inmates in special housing units to have cellmates?
We typically would like for them to have it, but certain situations dictate that they can. If an inmate's a total separation from a group, and we get word from the U.S. Attorney's Office or the arresting agent that, hey, he's to be totally separated, then they'd be housed by themselves. They could have an incident in the institution. For example, our gang members, somebody has an issue, and with, like, for example, the Bloods, then we have to say, hey, let's separate him from there.
Were there any directions specifically that Mr. Epstein was to have the cellmate at all times?
From psychology, we said, hey, that he's required, he needs to have a cellmate at all times.
Okay, and that occurred later on? When he first arrived, there was no specific directions regarding that, correct?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
Sure. No. You mean when he first came in, were we talking about him having a cellmate?
Yeah, initially.
I don't recall any talks about him initially, and trying to figure out when he first came in, how he was housed. I don't recall how he was housed when he first came in.
But. Okay. The MCC is no stranger to high-profile inmates. Generally speaking, how do you normally or generally handle these type of high-profile inmates? Are there any other special considerations, concerns? How does this work?
Again, they come in, we reevaluate them to determine, okay, if they can go out to general population or not. We've had a bunch that come in and were able to go out. I mean, we had SIOC, the one that, I don't know if you could call it, but the one that sent the bombs to the ex-presidents.
Okay.
Him. So when he first came in, he was high profile, so we brought him in to determine.
We're pausing the interview at 10:55 a.m.